Father God, we pray that you help us to listen and learn this morning. Pray that the picture we have of you continues to grow. Give us eyes to see who you are and the hearts that desire to do things that please you. And we ask all this in the strong name of Jesus. Amen. Now, I wonder if this is what you were looking forward to today, to sit here in church via a screen, having to sing on your own or with a few in your household. Maybe you sing softly so that no one hears that you're out of tune. Perhaps in the breakout room at the end of the service, you think it's nice, but it's not quite like being together, is it? It's not ideal. Is this what you are hoping for? Well, I don't think many of us were hoping for that. I know that we personally were looking forward to a holiday that we had planned. Many of us were hoping to see friends over the next couple of weeks, and all our plans have come to an end. Everything's been cancelled. I mean, is this what we hoped for? No, it wasn't. Well, today as we look at John chapter 6, I want to ask you if the relationship you have with Jesus is what you really hoped for. Is the relationship you have with Jesus what you really hoped for? Now, I think we're all going to respond in different ways to this question. Some of us have thought about it. Some of us have struggled and wish we could just do better in different areas of our lives. Maybe we don't feel good enough. Some of us have a regular pattern of reading and praying, and some of us don't have a regular pattern. Is the relationship you have with Jesus what you really hoped for? As we come to the Bible today, I want you to notice Jesus and what he does. Remember, John is often called the book of signs, and the last two signs today help us see who Jesus is. And my goal for us today is to see Jesus as King, to know that you're safe in his arms, and to grow in your love for him, to realize that in Jesus you lack nothing and you have all you need. So as we're heading to our first point for today, we see that a group of people have followed Jesus. They've found out and believe they've found what they needed to be content or happy. This is what they longed for. And John 6 begins with a crowd of about 5,000 people who followed Jesus because of the miracles. Again and again throughout John's gospel, we've seen people go to Jesus because they want to see him perform. They're amazed and want to see more of what he's already done. And this time's no different, is it? They follow Jesus to a remote place. Many of them have forgotten to take food with them. And so Jesus saw the opportunity and took the 5 loaves and 2 fish to feed the 5,000 people. And it's incredible, isn't it? And again, it's another sign that points to who Jesus is. Now, I'm going to come back to the miracle and talk about that in a moment. But when the people saw what Jesus done, look at what they say to him in verse 14. Or look at what they say to each other. This is indeed the prophet who has come into the world. Now, I find moments like these in the Bible always make me stop and think, what's going on? The context tells us that they don't understand who Jesus is. But what they say is actually true. Jesus is the prophet who was to come into the world. They identify Jesus correctly. He is the prophet. Yet what do they try and do? Look at verse 15. It says, "Perceiving then that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, Jesus withdrew again to the mountain by himself." So they followed Jesus to see the signs he performed. Jesus fed them all this food. And then they think, hey, let's make Jesus king. Another correct statement. Jesus is their king. But they didn't want to make him an earthly king. They didn't see him as their heavenly king. They wanted to see him as an earthly king. They wanted to take Jesus as their leader. Now, perhaps they thought this was the start of a revolution. This was their chance to kick the Romans out. They wanted a political leader, perhaps, to help them out. You know, they're under Roman rule, and so here's an opportunity. So, someone like Jesus, well, he has the power to surely take them from being an oppressed nation to ruling their own nation once again, to getting rid of the Romans. And we see it today, don't we? We see people rise up and take control when the opportunity arises. In Myanmar, think of all the people that have risen up together to try and band together, to pull themselves together, a private army, to get rid of the people leading them. And maybe this is what the Israelites thought. Let's make him our king. Let's let him lead us against the Romans. That was their plan. But it wasn't Jesus' plan, was it? This isn't what his father wanted. So in verse 15, we can see that he withdrew again to the mountain by himself. Jesus won't be held captive and be their leader. Now, the second thing that the Israelites wanted from Jesus was to provide their daily needs. Now, I've skipped all the way down to verse 24, and the people are unsure where Jesus is. It's the morning after he fed them. Jesus left the night before without them knowing. He's nowhere to be found. Some boats arrive. The people get in. They cross the water to find out where Jesus is. And we can see in verse 25 that they found Jesus and they ask him, Rabbi, when did you come here? See, they're confused as to how Jesus got across the water. It doesn't add up. He went up to the mountain. His disciples crossed. And how did you get here? It seems like the people are excited, but Jesus isn't. They've come for the wrong reason. Their motivation to follow Jesus is wrong. Look at verse 26. And Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves." So they followed Jesus because of the signs. But now Jesus says they look to him because they're hungry. Jesus gave them food when they were in need. And they've come to find him so that he can do it again. In fact, if they hang on to Jesus, they'll never have to worry about food again. He's a means to an endless supply of food going on what happened the day before. And it's a bit like UN food camps. A friend of ours worked near one and he told us that people would congregate because of the food. They knew that if they stayed where they were, that food would come. See, when you can gain access to food and there isn't much around, well, you follow the source. You get close to the source. And that's what they're doing here. They followed the food trail, and that's why they followed Jesus. Now, the Israelites tried to do two things here. First, to make Jesus as their leader, and second, to take him as a food source. He's the one who can look after them. And this is what they've been waiting for someone to provide leadership and to for someone to fill their stomachs. But that's not what Jesus came for. The signs point to something far bigger. And as we look at who Jesus is, I want you to ask who you think Jesus is. His longing for you is that you see him and give him your life. He wants you to see him as a radically different person that you are today, because you see who he is and what he's done. So turn back with me to the first miracle where Jesus fed the 5,000 from verse 5. And we see Jesus saw this great crowd coming towards him as he sat with his disciples. And he tested his disciples and asked them, well, where are we going to buy food for all these people? And we're told 8 months' wages won't even provide enough in verse 7. And then Andrew spoke up because he found a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 fish. I mean, but what can that do? He doubts their usefulness. And with 5,000 hungry people, a small basket with a little bit of food doesn't seem to be any help at all. There's not enough. But then Jesus takes charge. He instructs them, get the people to sit down. And what happens next is incredible, and we should be amazed. Again, like one of the miracles we saw earlier in John's Gospel, when water was turned to wine, there's no handling of food here, there's no pulling apart, there's no mention of how the 5 loaves and 2 fish are duplicated or recreated, but the result is abundantly clear. Look at what happened in verse 11. Jesus then took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated. So also the fish, as much as they wanted. Jesus gave thanks to his Father for the provision for the people. He distributes the food to the 5,000, and everyone got as much as they wanted. They were all full. And this is a miraculous event. The food that would have fed one family becomes food for 5,000. The impossible becomes a reality. Now we see that the provision is over the top. Look at verse 13. So they gathered them up, all the leftovers, and filled 12 baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten. Wow. 12 basketfuls left over. I mean, there's no way you can feed 5,000 people from a small basket full of food and end up with 12 baskets full of leftovers. Now, I don't know what your family reunions are like. Sometimes it feels like there's an endless supply of food that just never runs out. We eat and eat, and some of us eat again and eat again, yet the food just keeps coming. But one thing I've never experienced in all my family dinners is that we've ended up with more food at the end of the night than what we started with at the beginning of the night. Sure, we've had moments when there's been leftovers for a week, but we've never ended up with more food than what we started with. But that's what's happened here. They've started with a small basket. 5,000 people have been fed, and now we have 12 basketfuls left over. It's amazing. And we need to be amazed at Jesus here. We need to look at him and see that he can bend the physical things in this world and multiply them in a way that creates more than what he started with. He creates something out of nothing in some ways. This is the Jesus who was with God at the beginning of creation, where out of nothing the world, he created the world and the whole universe. He was there as they planted trees and made animals and created us. He was there before the creation of the world. Yet when he comes into this picture where people want to make him their leader because they've seen some amazing things. But Jesus is much more than just a leader. And look at what he's done. He's turned this small meal into an abundant feast with leftovers. But that's not all he does, because the next thing he does really does show his power and his might. See, the next thing Jesus did was to walk on water. Look at verse 16. And the disciples left in a boat. It's dark and there were strong winds. The waters were rough and they rowed for about 4 to 6 kilometres. We get the impression that it was hard work to get to where they are. And then in verse 19, Jesus happens. look at verse 19. When the disciples had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and coming near the boat, and they were frightened. But he said to them, "It is I, do not be afraid." Then they were glad to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat was at the land to which they were going. Now there's a few things I want you to see here. First, Jesus walks on water. Just marvel at that for a moment. Jesus walked on water. Jesus was there at the creation, and in John chapter 1 we saw that the world was created through him. And as Jesus walks on water, he does the impossible. But we shouldn't be surprised, because he is the creator of the universe, of the heavens. He's not bound by the laws of nature like we are, because he made the laws of nature. He made it all. He's the one who created everything. Walking on water doesn't seem to be that complicated a thing for Jesus to do. And as he gets close to the boat and the disciples are frightened, notice what Jesus says to them. He says to them, "It is I, don't be afraid." And as he stepped into the boat, we notice that the boat arrives to the other side. Their longing to be on the other side is over. The hard work is done. The disciples are safe. There's no need to keep rowing, because they've been taken to the other side. Now, there's a number of spots in John's Gospel where Jesus says, "I am." Now, it's a way for Jesus to say that he's God. We're going to come to one in verse 35 next week, where he says, I am the bread of life. He also says, I am the light of the world. And there's a few others as well. And all these point back to Exodus chapter 3, verse 4, where God told Moses his name, where he said, I am who I am. It was God's name that Moses was to take to Pharaoh. Now, as you look at verse 20, it's not one of the popular I am statements, but it's another time that Jesus says, I am. It says there in the ESV, it is I, but it's the same. It's I am. He wants the disciples to know that it is God, that he is God. Now, in the first miracle, Jesus showed the disciples who he was, that he could change water into wine. And now in the last miracle, the last sign in John's gospel, we see that he wants them to know who he is. Jesus is the I am. This is the name for God, and we too should see that Jesus is God. The time of the year that Jesus walked on water was very close to Passover. You can see that in verse 4. Now, the Passover began many years before when the Israelites escaped through the water. And it's no surprise then at this Passover that Jesus walks on the water and takes his people to the other side. See, God coming to his people, bringing them safely across the water. See, everything about these two signs points to Jesus as the one who satisfies our longing. Now, we saw earlier that the crowd followed Jesus across the water and wanted to feed, and Jesus rebuked them in verse 26. In verse 27, Jesus told them what they need to do now, what they need to know. Look at verse 27 with me. So, do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has set his seal. The food that endures to eternal life is forgiveness for their sins. It's freedom from the slavery to sin. See, in verse 35, Jesus makes it clear that he is the food that endures for eternal life. He says that he is the bread of life, down in verse 35. Don't long for bread that gets moldy. Long for Jesus, the bread of life. That's the picture here. He's the one that they should look to and trust in, because he's the food that doesn't perish. And he urges them in verse 29 to believe. This has been the whole message of John's gospel up until now, hasn't it? Look at verse 29, where Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him who has in him who he I'm always going to get this wrong. But this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." And I want to remind each one of you this morning that we too need to be reminded to feed on Christ. We recently celebrated the Lord's Supper, and Matt reminded us through the breaking of bread and the sharing of wine that we need to continue to look to Jesus and remind one another to long for Jesus. Because as our longing for Jesus increases and our yearning to have a heart like Christ grows, we long for things to change. We will long for an increased understanding of his word. We will long for an increased awareness of each other's needs. We will long for a humility that means we put others first. We will long to serve his people. That we long for a clearer understanding of what his gospel means in our lives. Friends, none of us have graduated yet. If blood is moving through your veins, then there is something you can do to grow in your love for Jesus. So I want you to long for growth with me. My prayer for you and for me is that we see Jesus as the great provider who can walk on water, that you see him and believe that he is your king and know that he has the words of eternal life. See, Jesus is the one who completely satisfies. So look to him, trust him, and long for him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for your word today. We ask that you help us to see Jesus as our great provider. Help us all to have a longing in our hearts to love you more. Help us to understand with greater clarity the love you have for us. May we be people who long for you, and we ask this in the strong name of Jesus. Amen.